Okay, we're going to start now. Make sure if the sound's too low or too, if anything wrong, either just put something in the chat box and we'll do it. I also want to do a test of the anyone wants to test the check the chat box real quick, just send me a note there. It's also fine. And again, the link I put up there before for the Ramban. Okay, what we're going to do today is real simple, but very basic. The focus of this year will be the Ramban, the first Ramban in Parsha Truma. Not only because it's a Ramban, it's one of the classic Ramban that everyone relates to. You also see the Ramban approach to Parshanut, his approach to the way he studies the book, and also how he views the Mishkan. As you know, there's a famous machloket, there's a famous argument of whether the Mishkan is a forethought or afterthought. Meaning, is the Mishkan, when we grow up, we usually learn this story, that the Mishkan was an afterthought, is because of Chet HaEgel, we sinned, and God realized we need some physical representation of God. So therefore, because we're so weak and we just can't appreciate this one God without having to worship him some way, so God gives us some temple or some Mishkan to serve him. Ramban's going to totally disagree with that approach, and he's going to hold there's something very basic and important about the Mishkan, and he's going to see the Mishkan as a perpetuation of Mamad Har Sinai. Let's understand where he's coming from and why he holds what he does. We have to read him inside. But before we read the Ramban, we're going to explain the problem the Ramban is relating to. I want you to take a look at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, the very last 3-4 Pesukim. That's going to be Sefer Shmot Perek Chavdalet. Pretty much Nafter of Shvi, the Parshat Mishpatim. In fact, it's nuts right now just to look at the last line. The very last line of the Parsha. And Pasuk Yitzchak, Vayavo Moshe B'toch Hanan, Vayal Ahar, Vayim Moshe B'har, Vayim Yom B'har, Vayim Laila. Moshe is up on Har Sinai for the first 40 days. If you look back at Pasuk Yitzchak, when Moshe goes up the mountain, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Alei Elai Ahara, go up the mountain, Vayesham, that Nelechad Luchot to Evan, Vatorah B'Mitzvah, Shekhatapti L'Horotam, come up the mountain, and be with me there, and I'm going to give you there, the Luchot to Evan, the Torah B'Mitzvah, which I'm writing to teach them. Without going into details of that pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu, after receiving the Ten Commandments in Parshat Mishpatim, now is commanded to go up to the mountain to get more law. And the assumption is that the law that Moshe receives are going to follow in the next pasuk in Parashat Chatzai, which begins by Dabar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, Beichud Yisroma, etc. It only makes sense that when Moshe goes up on the mountain for the first 40 days, the laws that he gets are the laws that God shows him. From Terachatei on, which is really Parsha Truma Tetzaveh in the first half of Kitisa. Which means, if I keep Chumash in order, that when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai for the first 40 days, what he receives is the laws of the Mishkan. Because of that, the Parshanim has to understand, why did the Mishkan get so much press and so much importance in Sefer Shmot? If Moshe is going up for the first 40 days, why did the first thing he receives is about the Mishkan and not any other laws? Again, we have Parsha Mishpatim, but why is the Mishkan so central to Sefer Shmot? That, in essence, is what's bothering the Ramban. We'll see the Ramban inside. So what we're going to do now, I hope you have the source sheet. I'm going to put the link one more time. That's the link for the source sheet. Or if you have a Ramban, it's better on the source sheet. I simply picked the Ramban, and I used the word processor and made it a lot easier to read and a lot easier to understand, because instead of the Ramban doesn't come with punctuation marks, etc. But I tried to divide it up one thought at a time with big letters. So if you look at the Ramban, what we're going to follow is try to understand how the Ramban understands this flow of Parshiyot. Now remember one last thing. There's no way that Moshe Rabbeinu can teach all the laws of the Torah in one setting. 613 is too much to teach in one set. And therefore, it makes sense that he's going to teach unit by unit by unit. So it's not surprising that we find Chumash presenting its laws unit by unit by unit. What will be interesting is what order those units are presented in and what's in each unit. That's what Ramban's going to talk about, and that's what we're going to see soon. Soon we'll start the participation part. Look at the beginning of the Ramban, and we'll read from the beginning. Again, the first Ramban in Parshat Truma. Okay. It begins as follows. Kashir diber Hashem im Yisrael panim b'fanim aser tadibrot. He talks about the first God spoke to Yisrael, the Ten Commandments. V'tivah otam ayidim Moshe k'tat mitzvot. Shem k'mo avot l'mitzvotei ha'shul Torah. Kashir Niku Ravatinu Magirim Shabayim Ditahed. We're going to go over this in a second. Every single line here is a gem. Yisrael kiblo alehem lasot kol ma sheyitzavim al yedei Moshe. Tukati ben brit v'chulei. Mi'ata hem lo la'am v'hu la'elohim kasher itnei imam betchila. Ani kos some sukim. And then, in the next section, v'hinei hem kdoshim v'ruim sheyeh ben mikdash. I'll summarize what Rabban is saying, and then we'll go back and see each line. Rabban is saying is that the main thing that God wanted to do was build a mikdash. V'asil a mikdash v'shachati b'tocham. God's goal was to have a mikdash for the Jewish people to dwell in the midst, etc. But before he could do that, we had several stages on the way to get there. And then he's going to explain what was the logic of the progression from the Ten Commandments through Parshat Mishpatim to the Mishkan. So now we're going to go back and see the connection between all of them. He's going to connect between the Mishkan and all the mitzvot that came beforehand. So take a look in the Ramban again. In Kasher Diber, from the beginning, Kasher Diber Hashem in Yisrael, Panim V'Tfanim Aser Tedibrot. God talked to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ten Commandments. Now, how come the Ramban is emphasizing Panim V'Tfanim? Anyone want to try to give a suggestion, either by chatting is fine. Why do you think the Ramban is emphasizing in the first line that first God spoke to Yisrael, Panim V'Tfanim, the Ten Commandments, before he continues? Remember, Panim means directly. Remember, we learned the first two, the last eight. The Ramban's going to disagree with that a little bit. But what's going to happen afterwards? Anyone want to give it a try? Either speaking or trying to chat? The Fanim. Here we go, okay. Okay, exactly. What Zev is saying is that if God speaks directly, it's more clear. And he speaks through Moshe, there's an ambiguity there. Now, there's a totally different topic, which we'll do another time. Maybe we'll do that with Tetzada a little bit. That it's much better if God speaks directly. On the other hand, the people get very scared and are wary of hearing his word directly from God. There's a much more detailed story about that in Sefer Dvarim, in Parakeh. We also have some of that in Parak Yotet and Shemot. But the people are scared of God, and therefore they beg Moshe to be the middleman. But first, the first Ten Commandments are directly, and now listen carefully in the second part. When the Ramban says Ksat Mitzvot, what's he referring to? Ksat Mitzvot means some Mitzvot, or a little bit of Mitzvot. What's he referring to? That's why I have it underlined. What set of Mitzvot is the Ramban referring to in Ksat Mitzvot? It's real simple, but I make sure that you follow his logic. Remember, so John says the last parsha means the last parsha means parsha mishpatim. Exactly, the law parsha mishpatim has three chapters full of laws. Now that's not when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up Tarsina. I first get the Ten Commandments, then he gets the unit which we call parsha mishpatim. Parsha mishpatim doesn't include 613, but includes a lot more than 10. And therefore, before, if I follow what happened before parsha Truma, Am Yisrael comes to Har Sinai to make a covenant. So first we have covenant. Then we have the Ten Commandments. Then the people get scared. Then we get a unit of mitzvot that began at the end of Parshat Yitro and goes to the end of Mishpatim, which we call Parshat Mishpatim, or we can call it sometimes the Kotomar unit, which is not all the laws. It's about 50, 60 laws or so. It's a set of laws, but not all of them. That's what the Ramban's referring to as Ksat Mitzvot. And then afterwards, at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, we had Perek Avdalot, which was the covenant, where they said Nasa V'Nishma. And after the Nasa V'Nishma covenant, and everyone agrees to it, accepts it, and they sprinkle the blood, and they have a whole Kiddush, and have a whole big Korban, then Moshe goes up to Har Sinai for the first 40 days. So Ramban is saying, first we get the Ten Commandments, then we get Ksat Mitzvot, which is Parshat Mishpatim, which isn't all the laws, some of the laws. And this is how he explains them. Shehen kmo avot l'mitzvotei shel Torah. Now, where do we have the concept of avot and toledot? In what laws in halacha do we have concepts of avot and toledot? Avot means, I mean, how to say it in English. Avot are like main categories, and toledot are secondary categories, the categories stemming from those avot. Remember, which types of laws have avot and toledot? What category? Okay. Hilchot Shabbat, exactly. Hilchot Shabbat, there's a general principle. Like you're not allowed to do laundry, kibbutz, and then there's all different things. You can't plant. If you know the laws of Shemitah, which we're dealing with this year in Israel, Shemitah also has things. Okay? In Tumayya Avot and Tolodot. But that concept of Avot and Tolodot means I have a general principle, and from the principle I can apply and learn out other things. The Torah works in that way. What's he saying? In Parsha Mishpatim I don't have all the laws, but I have a sampling of the entire Torah. I have all types of laws. I have Benedim L'makom, Benedim L'chadero, I have civil law, I have ethical law, I have all different types of laws. And what we're going to do later on, what Chazal will do, is we're going to take one line in Parshat Mishpatim and expound upon it and learn from that a lot of principles. Anyone who learned is a king. Anyone who learned Baba Kama, Baba, no, any of the Masechet is a king, knows it. The concept of bor, of opening up a pit in a thing, or the opposite of shore, of an animal growing another animal. All those concepts in Parshat Mishpatim, and those are Avot, and from there we have Toledot. In fact, in the Zikin, you have the same concepts of Avot and Toledot. In fact, that's the best example of Avot and Toledot is going to be from the Zikin. I think that's why the Ramban uses the word Avot there, the reason why the Ramban refers to Parshat Mishpatim as Avot, is because the first section of Tarek HaFalat is mostly in the second Zikin, which begins in the first Tarek with Avot and Zikin. Now, listen what he says next. There's a law that when someone wants to convert to Judaism, that you don't teach him, you can't teach him the entire Torah all in one shot. Instead, you teach him some of the laws, and if he accepts those, then we can go to the next step. So we can't expect him to know the entire Torah before he becomes Jewish, but he has to at least know some of the laws and get them started. Now, why do you think the Ramban is comparing the laws of Parshat Mishpatim to a process of conversion? Oh, we're going to get to Jonathan. I missed Jonathan's question. I'll spend Jonathan's question and then we'll continue. Jonathan is asking, this concept of Avot and Toledot is true about the Ten Commandments for sure. When you study Parshat Doshim Tiyu, and also when you study different Dvarim, you see it much more clearly than you do in Parshat Mishpatim, that whenever there's a set of laws, there aren't too many. You have it in Parshat Mishpatim, you have it in Kedoshim Tiyu, and you have it in Sefer Dvarim, where there's a wide assortment of laws, not one topic, like the Mishkan and Sefer Vayikra or Shemot, but an entire set of laws. Usually they're going to follow the structure of the Ten Commandments, or they're going to be parallel to the Ten Commandments. And there'll be a concept of Avot and Toledot, but the Avot and Toledot from the Ten Commandments is a little more stretched, especially in here, than you have it in the Avot and Nezikin. The Avot and Nezikin is a clear-cut progression from one general concept to another. When you take the Ten Commandments and see them in other laws, sometimes it's real clear, sometimes it's a little bit more stretched. But it's true, you have a very similar idea there as well. And then, what you have, according to Ramban, you have the Avi Avot. The Ten Commandments would be like Avi Avot, like Super Avot. And then you have Parshat Mishpatim, which is the Avot, and then afterwards you have Toledot. Now, back to what we were talking about. Can someone explain, what's happening there? Why is Ramban comparing the Mitzvot we get in Parshat Mishpatim to someone becoming Jewish, to the conversion process? Again, it's real simple, but I want to make sure you appreciate what he's saying here. He's saying the reason we get the laws of Parshat Mishpatim is the first unit. It's very similar to when someone becomes Jewish, a non-Jew becomes Jewish, and first we don't teach him all the laws, but teach him a sampling of laws, and after he accepts those, then he... then we can convert him already. Anyone want to give it a try? And someone can try that. No one wants to use the microphone, I think. One of these weeks we'll get that started. Okay. Anyone want, what's going to be the reason? We'll give another 30 seconds. What would be the reason why you would compare this process of before we get to Mishkan, first we have Parshat Mishpatim. Okay. It's new territory. It's definitely new territory for the Jewish people. And in essence, we're not the Jew. The question is, what makes us the Jewish people? And here we have a very deep concept here. What makes us Jewish? The fact that we're descendants of Avraham Avinu? The fact that God took us out of Egypt? What's the main thing that makes us Jewish? We're going to see, and that's what we call 24/7. What's going to make the Jewish people Jewish is not going to be only their, at least the first time around, it's not only going to be their genealogy. It's not only going to be their history. it's going to be their acceptance of the covenant at Har Sinai, which we all call Natsa V'Nishma. Now, when in Chumash, when did the Bnei Yisrael pronounce Natsa V'Nishma? Where in Chumash is that? Who remembers? Okay, so we're going to... where Mishpatim is going to be? We'll go back to the Just Society in a minute. But where in Parsha Mishpatim do we find Amitav saying Natsa V'Nishma? In the beginning or the end? Yeah, exactly, it's the end. At the end of Mishpatim, and Ramban wants to keep Chumash in order and tries to keep it in chronological order. He says, it's only because in the end of Parsha Mishpatim is when Moshe comes down from the mountain, tells him the laws that he got, this unit of laws, and Am Yisrael accepts them, and then they say Natsa V'Nishma, and then we make a covenant, and we have a ceremony, and we sprinkle blood. And the leaders of the people climb the mountain, and they see God. It's that ceremony that makes us officially the Jewish people. It's just like when a ger, remember when a ger has to have dam milah and mikveh, etc. So just like Am Yisrael at Har Sinai had to go through type of tahara, you know, they had to wash their clothes and wash themselves, and they also had dam abrit, the korban, and they did brit milah before when they came out of Egypt. Just like they had a whole process of becoming Jewish, now what makes the Jewish people Jewish is going to be the fact, not only the genealogy, but the willingness to accept God. And that we're going to see in the next line in the Ramban. The idea of just society that Irene was talking about, we'll get to that very soon, that's relating to why is it that before we make this covenant, we have to know how come so many laws in Parsha Mishpatim, this first sampling of laws, is primarily the Adam L'Chaverah between man and his fellow man, and establishing the just society with judges and judgment and civil law and also ethical law. That's going to be like the crust of Judaism, and that will also explain why these laws as opposed to other laws in Parsha Mishpatim. Now let's go back to the Ramban, and look how he goes to the next thing. You see, every line in the Ramban, he has a whole outlook on life, a whole hashkafa. Okay. So let's go back again to the Ramban. We have two kashir. I'm going to read from the beginning again, just to get into the flow of things. Again, from the beginning. Kashir in Be'ashem in Yitzvah, Hanim Hanim Maser, that he wrote. First God spoke the Ten Commandments. And then Bitzidol Tam Ha'idei Moshe Ketat Mitzvot. Then he gave them Parshat Mishpatim, like a sampling, which are like avot, like general principles for the rest of the mitzvot of Torah. For example, Anshei Kodesh Tune may be read, we'll have a whole detail of Kedoshim Tiyu later on. Shalosh Regalim, have a whole detail in Sefer Dvarim of how to celebrate them. Kashir Nigu Arbatin and Megirim Shabin, just like the rabbis had the minhag with, or four people converting. Now, look at the next line, the next star. Yisrael Kiblu Alehem Lasot Kol Ma Shitarim Ayde Moshe. That's the key. After they taught them the laws, what did Am Yisrael do? Am Yisrael took upon themselves to keep all these laws as Moshe commands them. I won't even add that, so obvious. That Ramban's referring to Natsa V'Nishma. Look at what Ramban did. Perachat, the Ten Commandments. Parsha Mishpatim, Chafalot, Tachav Gimel. Diksat Mitzvot. Yisrael Kibla Alehen, Lasot Kamay Shisarein. That's the first half of chapter 24. That's Natsa V'Nishma. Vekratim and Brit Avet. And he made a covenant on that. Again, that's the end of Parsha Mishpatim. Mi'ata, hinehem lo la'am, b'hu yel Elohim, kashu itnam bimah b'tchila. Now that they've accepted it, now we have the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the covenant. That's the key point in the Ramban. What makes us Jewish is not so much the fact that we're born Jewish, the fact that we're covenantal partners with God. And it's when we accept the covenant that makes us Jewish, and that's the two signs, hem lo la'am, b'hu yel Elohim. We'll be his people, and he'll be our God. Okay. And then you'll see, where's that coming from? Kashrit nam imam b'tchilal, like he said in the beginning, means, you see where it's coming from, v'atem shmoa tishmu b'kolush, v'atem et briti b'tem tzkulam b'kol amin, v'atem tzilim amlech et kohanim v'kodosh. Now, you see it's from Derek, you said, but what's Ramban referring to? What covenant is that? Well, the quote that he's saying here, v'atem im shmoa tishmu b'kolush, when did that happen? It's obviously in chapter 19 in Shmo. But when historically that happened? It happened in chapter 19, but when? How does that relate to everything that's happening? They said so now. Why are you putting this at the end? If this is chapter 19, why are you quoting it after everything's over? I'll explain my question. Ramban for sure is quoting chapter 19. The Ten Commandments is chapter 20. And then the Ketanei Tzvot is chapter 21 to 23. The Brit is chapter 24. Why is Ramban going back now and quoting the covenant in chapter 19? At the end, instead of saying it in the beginning. Okay. But Orr is saying is right on the mark. The covenant, what covenant is being fulfilled in chapter 24? In chapter 19, before we get the Ten Commandments, And this has to happen before the Ten Commandments. God doesn't begin the process until Am Yisrael shows readiness to be a covenantal partner. And therefore, when we get to Har Sinai, the first thing God does, He makes a proposal. And what's the proposal? Are you willing to be an Amkut? Are you willing to be a nation to represent me? Are you willing to obey me? To keep my covenant? And people say, not that. Remember, they don't say not to be Nishma first, but they say, not that. We're willing to do that. They say, okay, we're willing to do that. Then God gets them all ready. And then He gives them the Ten Commandments, and Parshat Mishpatim. The covenant in Har Sinai is a process, not just an event. And first they show their willingness. It's like a courtship process. First they show their willingness to enter the covenant. It's only after the covenant, only after they learn the first set of laws and understanding of what Judaism is, and then say, not that Nishma again, after hearing what Judaism is about, that makes the covenant complete. Now, just for the fun of it, this one probably no one will know. The Ramban uses the word Behem lo la'amu lehem la'lohim. After they accept the covenant, where's the first time we have that phrase Lo lehem la'lohim? It comes up all through Tfilah and all through Levim, but this phrase Lo lehem la'lohim, or God will be our God, which implies Batem tzvi la'am, like we sing on Yom Kippur, Anu amecha at Eloheinu, Anu tzvanecha at Ra'inu. Where's the first time we have that phrase of Lo lehem la'lohim in Chumash with the Jewish people? Anyone know? I'm expecting no one to know, but Parshat Va'era. Okay, we have it in Va'era and Sefer Shmos. You're right. We have it before when we came out of Egypt. That's the fourth cup. The fourth cup, I think. Yeah. That's the fourth cup at the Seder, isn't it? So the Kachti Echem Lila'am, but he's a Chem Lelohim. Bidatem Keri Hashem Lekecham Motzitchem Bitachas Tivot Mitzvah. In the beginning of Tarim Chav in Sefer Shmos. But that's not the first time. There's one time earlier, and it's like really cute. I'll give you another 10 seconds. I don't think anyone's going to know this anyhow. But it's so important in Judaism. Okay. You could probably guess it even. It's simple. When God made a covenant, not just with Am Yisrael and Har Sinai, Brit Sinai is a covenant between God and the Jewish people. But there was a promo to that covenant at the seed stage, with Chazal called Zer Avraham Avoh. When God made a covenant with Avraham Avinu, at Brit Milah, right. The main phrase of Brit Milah, if you take a look at Terek and Zion, Sefer Breshit, Pasek Zion, it's 17:7 and 8. What you call Brit Milah, or circumcision is not the covenant. Right. What we call Brit Milah, everyone thinks that Brit Milah, circumcision, is the covenant. If you look carefully there, the covenant that God makes with Avraham Avinu in chapter 17 is not circumcision. Circumcision is an oath brit, it's a sign of the covenant. But the covenant is, God says, first, our side is, our job is to follow God and be simple or believing and straight with God. And then God says, look in Terek Yizayin, Pasek Zayin, Breshit, V'akivoti briti b'ini u'b'inechem, v'zarecha harecha, v'zorotam, l'yot l'chal Elohim. The phrase l'yot l'chal Elohim is right with the prayer, v'akivoti briti b'ini u'b'inechem, v'zarecha harecha, v'zorotam, z'ipit olam, l'yot l'chal Elohim. And the next pasuk, God's going to give us the land of Canaan, the land that Abram's living in, again, to be your God. The covenant is, He's our God, we're His people. That's what Abram Avinu accepts. The sign of that covenant is circumcision. What we have here now, is what Ramban's referring to, he understands that Brit Sinai is an upgrade, or a fulfillment of Brit Milah. It's got to be the covenant with Abram Avinu, which was a concept, it's a very deep idea, but God can't give Abram Avinu the mitzvot for a very, very simple reason. Abram is not a nation. God makes a covenant. This is such a big topic in Judaism. God makes a covenant with a nation. And that's why we're bound by Brit Sinai. Now, God can't make a covenant with a nation until we're a nation. But the concept of that nation began with Abram Avinu. That's the concept of Zera, of planting a seed. When God makes a covenant with Abram Avinu, it's about his future. And God plants the seeds of that covenant in Sefer Breshit. When he picks Avraham Avinu, and then he plucks and Yaakov, and we finally fine-tune everything, and find who that nation's going to be, and we have to go down to Egypt to become that nation. That's Brit Ben Tzarim. But the concept of the nation begins with Avot, that's Lo Lachal Elohim, and the concept of Tzedek HaMishpat that he tells Avraham Avinu in Parshat Va'era, or Va'era, in chapter 18 in Sefer Breshit. But now that we've come out of Egypt, now that we've become a nation, God can make a covenant with the nation, because most of the laws, many of the laws, relate not only to the individual, but to relate more so to the nation. And most of the laws of Matan Torah relate to a nation following God, not just to an individual. And therefore, that phrase, Elohim, is not, Ramban's not bringing it by chance, it's real basic to Judaism. Okay, now back to the Ramban. Now that we have this whole background, Ramban's explaining, we're building up to the Mishkan. We had a covenant in Har Sinai, Ten Commandments, Ksat Mitzvot. And now we made a covenant to command, and now we're his people. Now we're together. Now the covenant, compared to a marriage, now we're his nation, he's our God. We're working together, we're working for him. And now, the next time the Ramban, he named Kadoshim. Now Am Yisrael is what he calls Kadosh. Kadosh means set aside, designated, doesn't mean it's holy. Now we're set aside to separate, go ahead. Ruin Shur Ben Mikdash. Now we're worthy to have a Mikdash, Lashor Shekhinah Tovarihem, for God Shekhinah to be with us. And now we're going to touch on what's the very concept of the Shekhinah. What does it mean that God Shekhinah is in our midst? It's nothing physical. There's a concept here. But if Am Yisrael is properly representing God, then the Shekhinah is with us. Meaning, if God would feel comfortable being with us, if we represent Him properly, if He's happy with our behavior, we're worthy for Him to be in our midst. But if we're worthy to have like you can have in a shul, you can have a seat set aside for an important person. But if we're worthy, we're ready to be God's people, so then we're worthy to have a Mikdash. We're going to see, well, if we want to use a little cliche, is the Mishkan going to be a place for God to live? Or a symbol? Is it a house for God or a symbol for the Jewish people? We're going to see how the Ramban is going to explain the latter. It's a symbol for the Jewish people to recognize that God's in their midst. And now he gets to his big line we've been waiting for. Therefore, the first thing he commands him now was about the Mishkan. How come the Ramban is using the word Tchila? How come the Ramban say the first thing he commands him is about the Mishkan? Was that the first command? You can answer that now. It's a real, again, this is a simple question. This I'll give you more time for. How come the Ramban is saying now that all this happened, now, again, V'lachin tzivat tchila al-dvar ha-mishkan. How come now we think we're commanding them now first about the Mishkan? Is that true? The first thing was the Ten Commandments. What do you mean here by tchila? Okay, no, exactly. After the covenant is sealed now we've had, but now that Moshe Rabbeinu is going up for the first 40 days, after the covenant is sealed, we have the whole party. That's the end of Parshat Mishpatim again. And then the Parshat Mishpatim, there's a national ceremony. When everyone, there's a kiddush, they bring a little mishlamim, and they say, Natsa v'nishma, and they sprinkle the blood on everybody. And the leadership, the 70 leaders go up the mountain, they bow down to God. The covenant is sealed. It's been accepted by the Jewish people. Now we need a clubhouse. It's the first thing after the covenant is sealed. Exactly. Okay. It's the first time, but again, he's saying, the first thing, when Moshe is going up the mountain, Ramban has to explain, really, Ramban is on Pasuk Aleph, not on Pasuk Bet, or on Pasuk Aleph and Bet, together. Why is the first thing that God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu on the first 40 days about the Mishkan? It's because we've accepted to be his people. The wedding's over, and now we have now we need a clubhouse. Now we have a house in the midst dedicated to his Mishmo here means his reputation. Now, where are the rest of the laws going to be given from? And this is his big finish here. Chumash is finish. If he's paying attention to something the Chumash is telling you, what's going to happen in the Mishkan? In Perek Hatei, if you want to take a look, in Perek Hatei Pasuk Chavet, after we build the Aron and the Kruvim, and Pasuk Chaf Aleph, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, then after you build the Aron and Kruvim, the Aron and Kaporet, then take the Aron, into the Aron, you put the Ezut, which I'm going to give you, this tablet, and then Pasuk Chavet, v'no'adati l'chasham, v'dibati itcha me'al kapor, v'gay shnei Kruvim, asher lo'at et kol asher tzedeo tcha b'nei Yisrael. Once the Aron is in place, and the Mishkan is built, then I'll be able to continue telling you more mitzvot. Ramban is saying, once the Mishkan is built, it's going to replace Har Sinai. Because what happened in Har Sinai? All the laws we got till now were given from Har Sinai. Well, God's saying now build a Mishkan, and after I have a Mishkan, I can continue, I give you the rest of the mitzvot. Now that you're Jewish, and now that we have a clubhouse, here's the place where we're going to meet. You're going to come to the Kodesh Kodeshim, I'm going to come to the Kruvim, I'm going to speak to you the rest of the law that God, that God's going to teach me. One more line. and the Ramban, v'nei ikara hefet v'mishkan, hu makom menuchat ha-shkina, shu ha-aron, kamo shama, v'ra'at nizek ha-sham, v'divad nizek ha-me'al ha-kapor. Now, exactly what we quoted, I wasn't even looking ahead. Sorry about that. What's Ramban saying now? The main thing that God wants in the Mishkan is a place for Shekhinah, which is the Aron, as it's saying, and he brings the pasuk which we just read. Now, is Ramban saying this is the main thing God wants? What's Ramban coming to explain here? I think the Ramban can be misunderstood here. What's Ramban coming to explain about the Aron? Is he explaining that the most important thing that God wants is an Aron, or a Mishkan, or is he saying something else? Again, look. V'nei ikar ha-chefetz v'mishkan hu makom menuchat ha-shekhinah, shu ha-aron. Then he quotes the pasuk. Okay, he explains it later on. Al kein ikdim ha-aron v'kaporet v'kan ki hu mukdam b'mala. You understand what Ramban is explaining? Ramban is explaining why not only why the Mishkan comes now after the brit, but why is the first thing that God commands is the Mishkan. Now, where are we going to find a different order? Where in the Chumash are we going to find a different order of the Mishkan? And this is an easy one. Ramban will relate to it in a minute. But where exactly? If I ask up Kudei, we're going to find a very different order. Because if you're only building a house, first build the structure, right? First build the house, and then bring the furniture in. Why talk about the furniture first? So Ramban is explaining already, he's hinting to something very basic. What's the order in Parshat Truma? Why first the Aron and the Kruvim? And here he says here, it is the most important. And then, then we have the Aron and Shulchan, which might not be important, but they're also kidding, they're also vessels in the Kodesh, and therefore they go with him. Okay. And there comes to be a Ruah Inyana Mishkan Shev Avram Naseh, they're going to give some light, I'm making a pun here, they're going to shed light to Aron and the Shulchan about what the Mishkan is about. If you know the Mishkan, you know the easy way to remember, each part of the face you find in the Mishkan. You have the Shulchan, is like the mouth, and the Mitzvah Torah is like the nose, and the menorah is like the eyes, and the Aron, I guess the Kruvim are like the ears, but the brain, and the head is going to be the Aron inside. Now, why it's like a face, and then as it talks about it, it's a cool one, maybe we'll save it for next week, but why the imagery of a face, the God doesn't have a face, but when we relate to God, the idea that we have a something similar to the human body, is a really deep concept in Kabbalah. Maybe we'll talk about that in next week's show. Then in parentheses I put, Moshe, he came in Vayakel, the Mishkan, and that's how B'Tselah built it. But there's no doubt, Ramban isn't saying the most important law is the Mishkan. He's saying, now that we've made the covenant, the most important thing is the covenant. Now that we have a covenant, the reason why the Mishkan comes next is because of, this is going to be our clubhouse, where we're going to meet God, and God can continue our relationship with Him, and continue to tell us what to do, and therefore that explains the order. And now we get to the last part, which we're going to conclude our Shabbat. Besoda Mishkan, see the next star? Besoda Mishkan hu, Shiach Kavod Asher Shachar Ahar Sinai Shochen Elad Benistar. And then he brings 5,000 Sukkim, which we're not going to have time to see, but I want you to take a look at his proof is going to be from Parsha Pekudeh, but let me tell you what he's saying. The Sura Mishkan, remember the Ramban's introduction to his Pirush, he talks about Pshat, Drash, and Remez and Sod, different level. So here's going to Sod, but this is Sod at a very simple level. Here the main part of the Mishkan is that the same Kavod that was in Har Sinai would be in this Mishkan, Benistar. Now why do you say Nistar as opposed to in what way is the Mishkan Nistar as opposed to Har Sinai? Anyone want to try that one? Why do you think the word Nistar for the Mishkan? What happened in Har Sinai that doesn't happen in the Mishkan? Remember, if the Ramban is saying so and saying the word Nistar, it's obviously Kabbalah related, which we're not going to go into. But at the simplest level, like, what way is the Mishkan different? He's going to talk about how... Okay, exactly. There's no big noise, there's no fire, there's no kolot and prakim, there's things that we do. But we don't see that, we recreate what happened in Har Sinai. In Har Sinai, we were very passive, weren't we? God did everything in Har Sinai. We were scared stiff. But all the noise and the fire and the anan and coming down on the mountain and the struggling, that everything God did, that was Migla. That's Migla, that's, you know, as revelation as you can have. in the Mishkan, we're recreating Mamad Har Sinai. That's what he's going to say. The Mishkan is going to be a symbol of representation of Har Sinai, and we're going to make the noise, we're going to make the fire, we're going to make the Anan. We're going to do everything, and we're going to recreate it, because we want to recreate the experience and the closeness, and it's going to be the symbol of the covenant. And therefore, he's going to compare, his proof will be from the last Psukim of Parsha Pekudei, which you can do on your own. What the Ramban is going to do here, he's going to take the last Psukim of Parsha Mishpatim, which was always Parsha, he's going to compare them to the end of Parsha Pekudei, when the Mishkan is finally built, and Kvod Hashem that comes down on the Mishkan is going to be the exact same Kvod Hashem was on Har Sinai. You can do a beautiful comparison. And works out really nice. You can see the Ramban there as well. But compare the Psukim here, you compare it to the Devarim as well. And we're going to find that the Mishkan that he has there is going to be just like if you want to skip to the next paragraph, Vayah Mishkan Tamid Mitzvah HaKavod Shinra Lem Har Sinai. That's why I had big letters. What's going to be in the Mishkan, the same Kvod Hashem that was in Har Sinai is going to be with the Mishkan. In essence, what the Ramban is saying, and you can't disagree with the Ramban. His proofs are so solid that the Mishkan is not an afterthought, it's a forethought. The Mishkan is a symbol of a covenant, meaning there's a covenant between God and His people, and for Am Yisrael to remember the God's people, to remember that you're representing God as a nation, you need some physical symbol. And that physical symbol will be the Mishkan. And I don't need, according to Ramban, I don't need anything to happen in Chet Ha'Egel to explain everything in the Mishkan. If we had time, we could see there's so many more parallels between what happens in the Mishkan, how it's built, and what's in the Mishkan in Har Sinai. That's a great one that comes to mind from the Mitzvah's Parsha from the end. In Har Sinai, we have the Kohanim and the Shivim Kenim who go up the mountain, and then Moshe goes by himself up high on the mountain. Where do you find that in the Mishkan where Moshe is on the top of the mountain, that Ron, Nadav, and Abihu, and Shivim Kenim go up partway up the mountain? And the Am stay at the bottom of the mountain, and the bottom of the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain, we have a Mizbeach and Korbanot. What's that in the Mishkan? That's real simple. Someone should know that. Those different levels, where do we find them in the Mishkan? Okay. What setup is there? Exactly. The Kodesh Kodeshim, where God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Aron, that's going to be Rosh Ahar. That's where Moshe receives the laws. Then you're going to have the Kodesh, where the Aron, where the Kohanim come in. Kohanim HaNigashim Al Hashem, who come closer and bow down. That's the Kohanim who come into the Kodesh. And then in the Adarah, where Am Yisrael is allowed, but only if they're Tahar, only if they're ready and prepared, there you have a Mizbeach, and there they bring Korbanot, and there they pray, and there they remind themselves of their covenant. And then around them, and that Kedusha emanates from the Mishkan and goes out to the people. But if you're going to be a nation representing God, and because we're human beings as well, and not just individuals representing God, a nation representing God, we need a symbol of that covenant. And therefore, the idea of the Vatsud HaMikdash V'Shachanti B'Tocham, which is in essence what the Ramban is referring to here, is that the purpose of the Mishkan is going to be, that doesn't mean that the Mishkan is going to bring, building the Mishkan doesn't bring God, building a Mishkan is not going to make, it's not going to bring the Shekhinah. It's going to represent the Shekhinah, it'll reflect the Shekhinah. And sometimes, and here we're getting to the big topic of ritual in general in Judaism, does doing a mitzvah bring God closer to you? Or does doing a mitzvah reflect your internal feeling? By Am Yisrael, does God need to be fed and does God need a home? And therefore God says, I need a place to live. And if you build me a house and you come and feed me, I'll come and take care of you. Which is a very paganistic view of God. Where the gods need a place to live and someone to feed them. And our relationship is based on the fact that we build God a house and take care of him. Okay. Or, is the essence of the covenant our representing God, keeping his mitzvot, Parshat Mishpatim, the civil law, the ethical law, the main laws of the nation representing God, that's the main connection to God, that's the covenant. And now that we have a covenant, we need to do something physical to reflect our understanding, to reflect our feeling. In that sense, the Mishkan is a symbol of a covenant. It's reminded to the Jewish people, God doesn't need us, we need Him. But He needs us to need Him. He needs us, He wants a people to represent Him. Our building the Mishkan reflects our feeling. Now, the actual building the Mishkan can also make a person grow in his commitment to God. Being involved in that ritual, being involved in building the Mishkan, being involved in bringing Korbanot, because it reflects the relationship, but doing those mitzvot actually makes you stronger. But again, they don't make the relationship is built on the brit in Har Sinai. That's the Parsha Mishpatim. That's the Ten Commandments in Parsha Mishpatim. That's the brit. But the building Mishkan afterwards, it's first because it's reflecting the essence of the covenant. It's the most important in the sense of what it represents, even though Parsha Mishpatim is the most important in fact as far as what it is. And therefore, Parsha Mishpatim, as Irene mentioned earlier in this year, the idea that first we have to set up a just society and accept making a just society because we're representing God, that comes first. That makes the covenant. Once we have the covenant, and the covenant is sealed, then we can talk about the clubhouse, where we're going to meet God and that will represent our connection to God. And then, according to Ramban, we never leave Har Sinai. We take Har Sinai with us. Okay. So that's tonight's share. I'll take a minute or two for questions. That was my main point tonight's share, to show the Ramban's approach. And next week's share, we're going to begin to see other approaches, which seem almost even... Ramban, you can't argue with. He's so solid here. But for some reason, Rashi and everyone else disagrees, not everybody else, but anyone who learned beforehand that the Mishkan is an afterthought because of Chet Egel, it's also a big question. And we'll try to understand that side. And then when we're done, we'll try to put it all together and make sense out of this whole concept of what's happening in the end of Sefer Shemot. How does that come to explain our connection to God and what we can learn from it? If you have any questions, I'll take them now. And I'd like to do a little test of sound if someone wants to try their sound. I know everyone's afraid to use their sound button.
Hi, Menachem. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine, Jay.
I came a little late, so I didn't get a chance to say, you know, hi to everybody. You're kicking off our winter season of Etim, so I want to welcome everybody, especially, I want to welcome everybody, but those who have never been on Etim before, a special hello, and we're very interested to hear any feedback or comments and or you might have, and of course to let all your friends know about it, and just want to thank you and say hello, and not to be afraid to speak up or to get a webcam or all those other things that makes the class more interactive.
Okay. One of the things for the weeks to come, always have a chumash with you. That way you don't have to send out it makes it easier about making up source sheets. I'm assuming everyone has a chumash. If you're sticking up the Seder Shabbos and coming to a shiur, I assume that you're a student and you'll have a chumash. So on the other end of the source sheet each week will be, I'll put that link there again. I'll just use the same link every week. I'll just replace this file, the one I did this week. I'll just call it 1801 PDF and the sources will be the main sources we have that you don't have in a regular chumash. Will be there each week. Some weeks will be Parshanim, some weeks will be Roshim, depending. Somebody, I'm going to try to pick the key ones. I want to appreciate the thing. As far as translating, there should be there's a Ramban in English. I don't have it online, but if there's an English Ramban, so if there's if you need translation of it, it doesn't exist. But if you print out the sheet, I'll write the source in English what it is, Ramban, but I don't have a translation of the Ramban on I don't know of one. Maybe if someone knows an electronic one, but they're available if you have the English Ramban, which is available in I think it's the Chevelle's one called Rampart or something like that.
I imagine on the web there is stuff, everything's in English. And Shalom Eisenstadt, who's one of our tech guys, would know all this stuff.
Yeah.
I can ask.
Okay. Okay, great. Anyway, Shavuot Tov to everybody. By me, I have to go to school now. Sometimes they get it before. Now it's too early for Nate. It's still 6:15. I mean, Nate is later. Okay, Shavuot Tov.
Okay, thank you. One more thing. If I can just ask everybody to sign in the future with where they come from. It sort of gives us a feeling like I see all these names who I don't recognize, so it'd be nice if I know if you lived in Israel, in North America, in Europe, in Australia, and we have had people from all these places, so that's just a request if I may put that in and have a Shavuot Tov. Tomorrow morning, Rabbi Heyman is starting at 10:15, Monday night, Mark Shapiro, although his class is sold out. Tuesday night, Rabbi Gottlieb on Shemitah, this year being a Shemitah year. I think that's it for this week, right? And our Thursday Parsha Shir, and then we'll be starting some more classes in the upcoming week. So we hope to see you online, and have a good night. Or good morning, depending on where you are.